Hello, podcast listeners. This episode you're about to listen to is from the 2022 Be More Digital Conference. If you like what you hear, why not join us at the 2023 conference? It is going to be held on the 9th of March 2023 at the Novotel London West Hotel. We would just love to see you there. Visit charitydigital.org.uk for more information on all things digital. Enjoy.
Thank you very much, Claire. Thanks for the introduction. I hope you're all doing well and enjoying the session. We've got a nice bit of energy going in this final session. Just remember, network and drinks are in about 40 minutes, so carry on through then, and we'll all be a glass of wine deep. Hope you've enjoyed the day. As Claire said, I'm Chris Hall. I'm the head of marketing here at Charity Digital. And why did we put this session on? Well, at our heart, I really think that we're all secret gamers. Whether it's hours spent in front of PCs or consoles, whether we're candy crushing it on tubes or toilets, we're enjoying a pub quiz in the local, or enjoying many Zoom quizzes that I'm sure we've all done over the last 2 years, or even the family game night, that's been around for decades. In our heart, there's a little bit of a gamer in all of us, I think, and there's certainly something. There's something in it for everyone, and there's something very special about, getting lost in a game. It's the saviour for lots during lockdown. You could be a Viking, a soldier, a hedgehog, you could be a plumber. You could kind of be whatever you wanted and immerse yourself in these new worlds that kind of took away the pain and the noisiness of what was going on in the outside world. And the very laborious point that I'm making here is that gaming's everywhere. It really shows no sign of going away or even slowing down for that matter. And the gaming industry is as big as the TV and movie industry now. It's really challenging that global entertaining complex, and it caters to a community of about, that's worth up to about 137 million, probably more since I last checked that figure as well. And that's not only people playing games as well, that's streaming games and using streaming services for lots of different other things. It's just become a massively popular venture for many people worldwide, with incredibly high viewership and something that's grown exponentially. With the introduction of platforms such as Twitch and Tiltify, and the popularity of the community Discords that are popping up as well, charities are now also starting to tap into gaming as a real lucrative form of fundraising. And some are even treating it as the cornerstone of their fundraising efforts as well going forward. And that's what we're here to chat about today. I've got a pretty special panel joining me, and I'm not going to do them the disservice of introducing them myself, so I'm going to hand over to them to tell us a little bit about who you are, where you've come from, your charity, and what you get into with Gaming for Good. So I'm going to kickstart with you, Georgia.
Hi, I'm Georgia. I work at the British Red Cross, and I'm very, very lucky that gaming and streaming is the only thing I work on. It's pretty unique in the sector, but hopefully we'll see lots more of that popping up. I look after the entire programme of gaming and streaming, and we just reached our £1 million raised milestone in the past 2 years, so we're very excited.
Congratulations. Tina?
Fab, yeah, I'm Tina, and I used to work for WizKids, but then I was also consulting with different charities on how to instill gaming into their roster, and I was in charge of all of gaming when I was at WizKids for the past 2 years, so that was really interesting to establish something that wasn't already there in a format that wasn't really geared towards much digital things, and actually seeing the outcomes of that and seeing the learnings and how we can progress on was so valuable. And I mean, right now, even in my current work, because I switched to a different industry, I can see the benefit and how massive gaming and fundraising is to a lot of industries. Yeah,
and we'll get into that in a minute. I don't want you to give the game away at the very beginning. we'll get into that slowly. Thanks very much for that. Artie, over to you.
Yeah, so hi everyone. I'm Artie, and I am, I guess, a fundraising streamer. I've been streaming on Twitch since May 2020. I actually started doing streaming as a charity event that I just wanted my friends to come and watch while we raised some money for Become. And we had a great time. I made loads of friends, and I'm still doing it, even though I thought it was a one-off. And it's been really fun. So in my 2 years of streaming, I've built a really amazing community who are super supportive of loads of different causes that I bring to them, and they bring causes to me, and we kind of have a really charity-focused space. And we've raised about £15,000 in the past 2 years, which is really cool, for all sorts of different charities all over the world. So I'm really excited to be here to talk about that perspective of being a streamer as well.
Brilliant, and we're really excited to have you as well. It gives a different aspect, I think, which I think people will really enjoy. So I'm looking forward to getting a little bit of what you've got to talk about a little bit later on. And finally, Will.
Hey everyone, yeah, my name's Will. I'm the public fundraising manager at Become. We're a national charity, quite a small charity. So I'm supposed the other perspective, where Georgia was saying they just passed a million in gaming fundraising. We last year for the first time passed a million in our entire, across all fundraising, including trusts and corporates and everything. But gaming has become like a really strong part of that over the last 2 years. I was like the only staff member in like public fundraising. So I was doing individual giving, communities events when we launched like gaming fundraising. So I suppose I'm here to show that small charities can do it as well. And over those 2 years, we've nurtured like a community, very much like a grassroots community called Become Players. And it was entirely a new audience to us. We did not have like a database of supporters. We knew we had to go out and reach new people. We only had one person who was currently known to the community, our charity community, which was Artie, who was amazing. So yeah, it shows that you, it's good to look at your own audiences that you have. But we relied on reaching new supporters, and we successfully did that.
Yeah, and for those of you out there, we've been lucky enough to follow Become's journey kind of along with you and spoke at pretty much every event I think we've done now. So since Become Players started, it's been really interesting to see that growth as well. So really excited to have you. Thanks for joining us. So we obviously all know what gaming for good is, but I don't want to assume that everybody here does as well. So not to take too much time on talking about what it is, I kind of want to just go through the panel very quickly, talk a little bit about what it is, who are the key players, what are the benefits for doing Game for Good, and Will, I'm going to throw that straight back to you. Sorry, why are you taking a drink?
So what is Gaming for Good? I was thinking about this earlier. I don't even know where the phrase Gaming for Good started, if it was charity digital.
It might be me. I might just made it up, actually. Yeah. I think it was Salesforce, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what is it to us? We launched it as a gaming product, and we want it to be totally accessible to any type of gamer, whether you had just bought your first PlayStation and you're doing it offline. We even said you can do it on board games, or if you're like a regular gamer or a streamer. And we didn't really know who our audience was going to be, but it quickly became very clear like who were the people who were signing up, and that was active streamers, and it was almost entirely like beginner streamers, people like starting on a journey, people who are trying to increase their own audience. And these are people who might be averaging one viewer when they're on Twitch, or five or 10. And a lot of them have grown over the 2 years of Become Players as they've like hosted special events, which could be the charity fundraiser for your charity. So they've just gained more people coming in to watch. So it's kind of mutually beneficial. So we've kind of since started targeting kind of those lower level streamers and giving a good offer that helps them grow as a streamer, helps them grow their community and audience, and have a good time, because then we know they're going to fundraise for us again. That's kind of who I'm talking about when I talk about Game for Good.
Well, thanks very much. And Tina, from your perspective.
I'd say even the whole concept of gaming for good is super exciting, because it's like, how can I game and also do something that's good for other people? I mean, just the combination of that is fun. Yeah, exactly. And so for us, when we were doing it at WizKids, luckily, because our whole charity was kind of built around focusing on young wheelchair users, when it came to finding out who our key players are, they were kind of already there, because like we work with people that from the age of like 2 to about 25. So even though that's not the like average range of what gamers usually are, but they're so like involved in the world, we just went to them first. And naturally through that, they managed to connect us with other people. So they our like beneficiaries were actively helping our search and our betterment to actually understand the sphere, but then understand the sphere in the context of our actual charity, because we didn't want to do something that was inauthentic. Like, we wanted to make sure that it was still true to what we were doing. Yeah. So everything that we built around that, we had to make sure that it was still fulfilling what WizKids was at the core.
It's really interesting that, because I think the key reading between the lines at Takeaway is that you've tapped into a market right that was right in front of you that you didn't know was there.
Yeah.
Which I think is what the kind of doors that gaming's opening from a fundraising perspective.
Definitely.
And it was it was always there.
It was always there. Yeah. It will always be there, I guess. It just depends on the point of entry that you find and how you nurture that, really.
Absolutely, yeah. And Georgia, anything to add to that?
Yes, I think that Gaming for Good has been on a journey. So I think Gaming for Good is a really good way to talk about the mass participation style of gaming, which we're now probably talking more about streaming rather than gaming. Mm-hmm. And it's the idea that someone is doing something online to an audience, their community, their friends, their family, their network. And they're getting sponsorship in returns for doing that. So originally that was gaming. I'll play a game, and if you donate £5, I'll play with my controller upside down. Or if I get to £100, I'll dye my hair blue. That kind of thing. It was very interactive, really exciting, but a very sort of typical fundraising model that we're used to. It's mass participation, it's sponsorship, it just happens to be on a computer rather than running a marathon. But this is evolving, and it's now, I think, we as charities are understanding the scope of this, and I'm kind of giving spoilers to some future questions, but the scope is, it's a whole new world. I'm going to start singing Disney.
Yeah.
But it's the reason British Red Cross got involved is we knew that we needed to widen our portfolio to a younger audience. We knew that we needed to diversify our income, and we needed to do something digital. And we've seen in America for the past 10 years, streaming has been so successful, like mind-blowing successful. If you see what they've done this year alone, so far we're halfway through. Charities like Extra Life or St. Jude's have raised millions, millions and millions of dollars. And then us over here in the UK, 10 years late, going, I think this is something we want to get involved with. And that's kind of where the journey's sort of gone.
I love that. And you singing Disney would be worth the ticket price alone. And finally, Artie, from your perspective as a streamer, what does it mean to you?
Yeah, I guess it's interesting in that gaming is something that I would do anyway, but being able to share it with people, I think the thing with Twitch and other kind of live streaming platforms is they're so interactive, like we've said, and really like engaging in that way. So they're really like personal in the way you can do it, and there's so much like fun stuff as a streamer that you can do. Not just gaming, you know, I've done like crafting streams where I've just cross-stitched, and then I've, you know, for people who've donated, I've given them away as a little thank you. And there's so many like different avenues and things around there that are really fun. So for me, it's fun because I would just be chatting to these people and playing games anyway. But the fact that I can, you know, do it for a good cause, even if we don't raise very much money, just that messaging and like spreading the word about charities that aren't necessarily like heard about in other places, or just kind of reiterating messages and support that's available for people, is a really, really cool part of it.
And just to pick up on that a little bit, you know, on your point as well, George, about the UK being 10 years behind, all being tongue in cheek, and that Gaming for Good is actually no longer just about gaming, it's actually about streaming. It's a subject and as a whole, that's one that often gets overlooked, can be a bit of a taboo, you know, people think it's just for kids, it's just for gaming, it's a lot of sort of negative stigma around it as well. And as I mentioned in my intro, you know, it's an industry now that's bigger than TV, it's bigger than movies, it's a lot less costly to get involved in, for one, as well, yet we still see a lot of charities putting time and effort into advertising on TV and in the TV space as a whole, where there's this whole other industry going on in the corner that's making a lot of noise, but nobody's really getting involved with it. So what are some of these myths that are in play that are stopping charities? What are these barriers to entry or myths, I think there's a better word I've already used. sorry, I've lost my place. And George, I'm
going to put this could be a talk in itself. There's so many myths that need busting, and we've already started.
Yeah.
But just to continue, gaming, it's not just gaming, it's streaming. Gaming, it is not just mass participation. It's also a corporate industry in the UK that is worth £7 billion alone. Get on it, guys. It is also special events. It's also your own events. If you want to put on TikTok Lives with your ambassadors, or whether you want to put on live quizzes or live legacy events, that is also part of this space, and it's just unlocking it. And I'll say one more because I don't want to take them away from everyone else. But the audience, there is such a stigma that gaming is, or gamers and streamers are teenage boys in their basement who are antisocial, who just want to hate everyone. And it's not true. If you look at gaming as a whole, the industry is pretty well split between women and men. And actually that average age is 35, maybe even a bit more. That is because of mobile gamers, I will say. Older women are mobile gamers galore, and it's great, but they are still gamers. If you take all of them away, and maybe you could look at PC or console gamers, it is a younger, it is slightly more male, but it's still older than our stereotypes are saying. So there's all of that. Which is massive. And then there's all the violent stuff, but I'll let someone else talk about that.
Let's go down the line. Let's use this momentum to roll one into the next.
Why not? No, I couldn't agree more. There's so much that could be said here. But I think the one that immediately came to my mind is, don't think that just because this industry or like gaming as a whole sits outside of like your knowledge sector that you can't be immersed in it. I feel like that's something that I've encountered even at work, or even just speaking to people on a daily basis. Like, they think that it's so inaccessible, and I just wonder, I'm like, have you tried that? have you just explored a little bit? Have you tried a new game? Have you spoken to somebody? Because usually when you do, you find out a lot more that it's not anything that you believed it to be, and usually it's a lot more open and welcoming and has the opportunity for you to learn. Like, even for example, like if you just wanted to sit down and watch somebody play a game just to understand that mechanism, you can. It's all there, it's online. That's the beauty of it being digital. But yeah, with the violence, I think this came up a lot because we, in actually pitching this whole like project idea, had to consider obviously the parents' perspective on allowing their children or even themselves to be able to do like gaming marathons or sprints. You know, games will always be violent, we know that, and you know, there is markers out there to help you, but at the end of the day, if it's not for their age rating, it's just a question whether they should be playing it. And if it is for their age rating, then I don't think that it's something that would highly influence the person to be violent, because in our own research that we found that it's actually been way more helpful for skills like communication, yeah, cooperation, like understanding how to solve like really difficult problems, all of these things. And even for people like of a younger age, like this is not just like violent games, this is any game, like they have a lot more social and like, you know, mental and spiritual kind of gifts that they bring, yeah, rather than what we see like every day with people saying that they're just not.
It's good. Huge for mental health, isn't it?
Big time.
It saved me a lot during lockdown. I wasn't a big gamer before that, but I often used to tell colleagues like I'm going to go be a Viking for a few hours.
Yeah.
I'm just going to disappear into this whole other world and pretend whatever else is going on outside isn't quite going on. But it was such a big thing. It's got much more positive, I think, than it has negative. But as always, when the negative's there, we tend to focus on the negative more than we focus, yeah, on the positive. I'm stealing your line right now, Arnie, so please go in and add to that.
Yeah, I think just jumping on that point around games and that stereotype of them being very violent, that's weird to me because like the most of the games that I play are just very wholesome, mm-hmm, like farming games, or like you make a family and you play with them and they chill and like it's fine. So that's really like the kind of amount of games that there are and the growth of the like indie game industry as well, and all these people like building up these games that aren't just
violence, and even violence isn't a bad thing in itself, but like, you know, there's so much to gaming beyond that kind of stereotype of Call of Duty, that you can like go on Twitch or any other kind of website and see. You know, on Twitch, I think the most popular category is like just chatting. Like, it's just people there talking to their audience and, you know, chilling and vibing. And there's a lot of diversity there. I think another myth I wanted to just quickly pull up on was around kind of the scope of people on these platforms, in that, you know, speaking about my audience specifically, it's grown to like 2,300 people at this point. And the majority of them aren't from the UK. Only like 25% of my audience are from the UK. So it's a very, very, very international like base. And a lot of the streamers that I talk to who are interested in charities from all over the world, you know, they'll be based in the US or Australia or Canada or wherever. And they're really interested in getting involved in just causes they care about. So even like if, as you're easing into this, like don't feel like you have to stick to just the UK, because it's a global thing. It's international. It's online. The boundaries of where it is in the world really blur on Twitch. And on other websites like that. And I think that's a really cool potential in that, like, you know, I've fundraised for charities who don't work in the UK, but they work in the US or they work in different countries and they do so much cool stuff that I'll fundraise for them even if it doesn't, like, directly relate to me. And I guess that's the thing is, you know, tapping into those different interests and passions that people across the sector and across the website and the world is a really cool like scope for it. Like, you don't have to just stick to UK streamers or anything. Like, there's a cool like huge group of people who are super interested in doing this kind of thing with charities.
Massive reach, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of exponential, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Never ending. And Will, finally, we'll end with you.
I don't think I have too much to add. Yeah,
I've left you anything. Yeah.
No, that's all right. just to echo. Yeah, like the diversity of people who get who game is like phenomenal, and it like really is part of like our EDI strategy as well, to kind of diversify kind of our supporter base, and gaming is really helping us to do that. Yeah.
Brilliant. So we've talked about what it is, we've talked about why, we've debunked the why not. I think we should talk a little bit about the how. How do you make it a success? Oh, you know, I'm gonna come straight back to you from a streamer's point of view.
Yeah.
How can we work with streamers better?
I've made a list.
Yeah, that is good planning.
I guess, like, from a streamer's perspective, the things that are helpful to enable us to do it are having the tools ready for us to just jump in and go. We've spoken about Tiltify earlier. Sign up to it. Just, I don't know how it works because I'm not from a charity who's done it, but just look into Tiltify and sign up, because most of the streamers will go on there. If they're interested in doing a charity stream, they've got a really good directory on Tiltify to kind of look at the charities and causes that are on there. And if your name is there, that reaches a lot more people who can then see that your charity exists and maybe fundraise for you because that your messaging speaks out to them. On top of that, I think having tools for streamers is super helpful, in that when I go live to do a charity stream, I don't just press a button and then immediately start streaming. There's a lot of stuff that, like, it varies. For special events, you have to do a bit more preparing and stuff. So things like having messages that we can share and read to people, like talking points about the organization, set up for us. Like, if you have some sentences that we can use in like our chats and have messages for people to read or things for us to say, videos that you probably already have advertising the work that you do, you know, that kind of thing, have them all in one place, like on a website or like a Google Drive or whatever, that you share with streamers who are interested, because that is just a wealth of like, it saves so much work on our end, because I've done dozens and dozens of events at this point. And I always find it so useful when there's kind of like a point of call for everything I may need. So definitely, like, all the materials that you would use for other kinds of fundraising, just have them on a website.
and have them available for everyone to be able to go. And I think things around guidelines as well, because I know that, you know, as you're talking to people in higher ups or whatever, they may be like, oh, we don't really want people swearing while they're, you know, fundraising for us. If that's something that you are really passionate about, just like say, like just tell us if you've got guidelines or things. You know, it's quite common that people may want to jump into, oh, I want to do a drinking game for the charity. You can say no. Nobody's going to be upset. Like, you know, just make sure you kind of communicate any guidelines and stuff that you have to people who come to you and are interested. I think a big thing as well is reaching out to streamers. And this is something that I've had a few charities from all over the world reach out to me. And some of them have said yes and some of them have said no. You know, it's all volunteering on our end. So we can't always say yes, but a lot of the time, you know, giving people flexibility and time, you know, offering if they can't do a specific event, you know, when's the next event coming up, or, you know, here are the resources if you wanted to do an event on your own time. Having that kind of flexibility for people is really important. And don't be pestery, because I've had to block a few people who are just constantly in my emails like, have you thought about streaming for us? It's like, sometimes we just can't reply, and we like, there's a lot going on, especially the bigger streamers who have, like, you know, sponsorships and other things going on that they're doing with their life. You want to just kind of be empathetic towards that and not be pushy, because a lot of the time they want to help, but I think there's a big kind of barrier for some streamers to get into charity streaming because they feel like they're not big enough, or they feel like they don't have an audience enough to help you. So I think reiterating that, you know, any time, any effort coming into it is like massive. Like, you don't have to come in and raise £1,000. Like, do a stream. If you raise a £5, that's £5 more than we had. Yeah. And I think that kind of messaging of kind of bringing people together and raising those kind of smaller amounts, but as a collective, can be really helpful for a lot of the kind of newer streamers. That would be like a big thing. I could go on for days. I feel like I should let everyone else speak. But like, there's just so much, like, you know, that you can tap into and like see how the community grows and talk to them and see what they would recommend if, you know, you're not having a very successful, like, in, you know, enrolling people. Like, talk to someone you've got and be like, what would help? You know, just build it over time.
Yeah, I feel like, is that a list you've shared previously with Will? Or are you going to get it afterwards? And from the other side of it, Will, obviously you're working with streamers, but is anything to add on to Artie's point, or is there anything additional about how to make your fundraise initiative through streaming a success?
Yeah, I think... this feels like I'm going almost like in a backwards direction a little bit from gaming to streaming and back into gaming. But 2 years ago, what we were looking at was we needed to reach a new audience. We therefore needed to reach people who probably hadn't heard of our charity. We're not a very well-known charity. Even our call, supporting children in care and young care leavers, isn't particularly well understood. So it would have been difficult for us to launch it as like a cause-led product. So it was very much a gaming-led product. And then once we got people involved, the journey would have to bring them closer to the cause afterwards. So everything we were creating was very much in that space. We were trying to look, make it look and feel like a gaming or slash streaming event. And in my mind, I really much like esports team. I want it to look like an esports team. For those of you who don't know esports, it's kind of like the competitive side to gaming, which there's billions of pounds in, like, globally. There's the international event, like the winning team gets like £11 million or something. Like, there's huge money in esports. What worked for us was merging that. We're trying to build a community and making it feel like this team, which kind of had esports vibes. And then again, as Artie was saying, giving incentives to kind of smaller level streamers to be able to get involved. So I like you earn rewards and like merch when you hit fundraising targets. Our lowest target at the moment is like £25 when you get something. And the biggest one's like £200. And that's where you get like our team jersey, which looks like proper like esports top, think like a football shirt. Like, and then you feel like part of the team and feel like part of the community. And that really has just gone through the years and it's really helped. Yeah. That kind of answer the question?
Absolutely. Yeah. Smashed it. That's great. And Tina, from your perspective, having, you know, being in the charity space now on the outside looking in, mm-hmm. how can we make it successful?
I would say, I think I'm just going to give two things that are probably most important to me and what I found like on the other side. And the first one was definitely not underestimating how important it is to continuously learn at the same time, because research and gaming is one thing, but what I mean by learning is that, because I didn't come into the charity sector with any kind of product management, project management, like background. But in the time that I was there, I also took it upon myself to learn like digital product management, because there's something about taking that kind of a mindset and applying it to not only gaming, but how it fit with how we were trying to change the mindset within the actual charity itself really, really helped, because I started noticing holes that I probably wouldn't have noticed before, or you know, brought up discussions or meetings about small things that would obviously have a big incremental change to what we were actually going to do for that event. So learning all of these different methods, like, you know, the agile and all these different things, actually really cemented our way of working, and also brought in a new mindset, because, you know, physical traditional fundraising is one thing, but I would say that a lot of it carries over into the gaming sphere, but the approach is slightly different, and I feel like you need to be open to looking at it with a different lens. So that's probably my first like one. And the other one is not underestimating the importance of a donor journey, because wow, like looking at the streamers that we interacted with and the people that actually fundraised for us, it was so important that we set out these donor journeys to begin with, especially when it came to the streamers, because you have different kinds of streamers that have different needs, and if you do map out the way that you could appeal to them and it's written down somewhere, like it's always nice to have that reference point. Because say for us, we worked with a lot of disabled gamers who had a lot more things that we had to factor into that donor journey, and a lot more time and nurturing to be able to get them to do what it is that they wanted to put on. But without having those initial steps, mm-hmm. it would have just been like a stab in the dark. So I'd say, please, like, map something out.
I mean, some things don't change, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Every fundraising campaign should have a good donor journey. We'll not go into that, because that is definitely another panel.
Yeah.
But totally resonate with that. And I found it interesting how it was doing a new initiative which drove the digital transformation and the mindset within your organisation.
For sure.
Well, instead of the other way around, which is sometimes how it's perceived as very interesting. And Georgia, last but not least.
God, I've got so much to say. I think taking a step back at the sort of bigger strategy level and not underestimating this space. And I think that we as a charity sector are in danger, going back to the myth, are in danger of looking at gaming for good. And again, just seeing this community peer-to-peer fundraising product, which works, don't get me wrong. Like it's we've done amazingly at it at British Red Cross. Obviously Will and Artie can talk amazingly at how well it's doing at Become. But as I sort of mentioned earlier, this is huge. This is a whole new audience, a whole new industry. So whether this is corporate partners and developing a game and or the tech that goes behind it, maybe it's just a specific type of video tech that will help your beneficiaries and what you do to deliver your activity. I was talking to a gentleman earlier who works for a Christian charity. We could start doing services in Minecraft. Like, it just think about it so much broader. So it's not just peer-to-peer fundraising, it's corporate fundraising, special events, its own events, it's major donors, it's everything that we're just elevating what we do already, bringing in these new tools, opening up a whole new industry and a whole new audience. And we're not talking just about short-term fundraising gains. We're talking about long-term relationships and partnerships and collaborations and ways to talk about our charities to this whole new audience who are very soon going to become our core audience. And this is how they like to be spoken to. And this is the language they use and the platforms they use. So essentially, we're just setting ourselves up for 10, 20 years in the future. Great. But also, it's not just fundraising, it's awareness. It's how can you use this to further your message or your educational tools. I know that we work with I don't think they exist anymore, but an organisation who use Minecraft or Minecraft tools to put children in the footsteps of whoever they need to. So in our case, it was refugees and a refugee experience, having to flee their homes because of conflict and get into a new place and having to make a new community there. Just the power of that, I just find so inspiring and overwhelming, and I just want to be able to inspire you guys all with that today, because that's what this is. We're opening up a whole new space.
Absolutely. No, that was very inspiring. So I certainly felt it. I'm sure everybody else did as well.
Sorry. This is brilliant, and I love the suggestions, Artie. I think that's great. I'm actually very interested in this, and I'm hoping to maybe open it up to my bosses. And I was actually talking to Georgia before about this. So how could a charity sell itself to streamers? Is there a way to do that?
I think that's for you, Artie. Yeah. How can a charity sell itself to streamers?
I mean, I know for me, I'm probably an easier person to sell to because I actively have chosen in my streaming to focus on charity fundraising, and I'm always looking out for different organizations who align with things I care about. And I think for people who maybe aren't as, you know, engaged specifically in fundraising and their streaming and stuff, I think it's helpful to just kind of build a presence and just kind of build a community and get that sense of like, we're doing cool things in the sector and in the space you can be involved too. So even just beyond your charity messaging, just like, you know, the stuff that Become's been doing and that, you know, I've been involved with the Become Players team. It's not just about fundraising for Become, it's about connecting with all these streamers from all over the UK and across the world now, who have come together from the cause, but also stick around because we just have good chats and we organize these fun collaborations and kind of facilitating those spaces. I know that like I have had people directly email me. I've seen things on social media. You know, there's a lot of ways that you can kind of get in touch with streamers, like individually, but also there's, you know, a lot of kind of teams and groups of streamers rather than like charity-based, you know, slightly different to Become Players, but, you know, like groups of streamers who have come together to say we're interested in charity. So for example, I'm a member of a stream team called Cosmic Hearts, and we're all across the world and kind of collaborate and fundraise for charity a few times a year. And there's loads and loads and loads of communities and groups of people like who have come together to choose to do that. But then there's a lot of, you know, people have an email address open for if people are looking at your charity on Tiltify or whatever to get in contact with you as well, and kind of build up those relationships with people who come to you, but also feel free to reach out to people as well. It's so diverse, and this, like, you know, what people have been saying about strategizing on your end, I think is really important, and adapting that. If things don't work, don't do it. Try something else. I know that sounds silly and obvious, but you know, you can probably get caught up and oh, it's not working straight away, but you know, kind of see how it goes, tap into it, watch streams, see what it's like in the sector, and then go from there, I would say. That's a lot.
Yeah.
but hopefully that helps, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, I'm just conscious of the time, and I want to get this last question in, but well, very, very quick, short, succinct answers. What does the future look like for Game and Good? You know, is it fair to say that it's something that's going to grow, it's going to get bigger, it's going to dominate fundraising in the future? How can we as charities help grow the industry a little bit more? I'm going to hand that back over to you, Georgia.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Knock that out of the park.
This is the future of fundraising, guys.
Yeah.
But it is. This is the future audience that we're going to be talking to who like to be on social media and like video content and who want to engage in a global collaborative space. And we need to start reflecting that. But what I really, really want to see, and I'm really excited to see, is for charities to have gaming and streaming people in their, first off, just more than one person would be great. Teams. Think about social media 10 years ago when maybe we had like an intern who like looked after the Twitter. This is what's going to happen.
True.
And I think it's really scary if there's sort of like we don't want to get involved in it because it's violent or it's not for us. I think it's scary having that attitude because don't want you to be left behind. It's like the Just Giving. It's just like the social media, but of 10 years ago. So, yeah.
Great analogy. I love that. Tina,
perfect.
Own comments.
I would say, couldn't agree more. Like, it is definitely the future. As someone that is actually like actively grown up with like gaming being like in the forefront, I would say that it's not going to go anywhere. And really, for me, I think collaboration, like if charities, like be uncomfortable, if you want to do something and you feel like there's another charity that you want to link up with to be able to do that thing, do it. Because it's so important that we all help each other in some way. Obviously, we don't have to share all our secrets, but the gaming community is so intertwined and so welcoming and so accepting of one another. And I feel like for the charity sector to thrive within it, there needs to be more of this.
Be uncomfortable. I think that,
yeah.
That's something that I love, that. Absolutely love that. We've got to be challenging ourselves. Artie?
Yeah, I think it's definitely the way that things are going to go. And just in the 2 years that I've been streaming, I've seen more and more events, I've seen more and more charities. Like, that's just going to keep growing and it's going to just kind of bubble over and do lots of really cool stuff. Like, I'm on in the grand scheme of Twitch, I'm on a much smaller level in that I kind of do my own events. I collab with other streamers in my community and other communities, but it's kind of a contained thing. But, you know, I see streamers that I watch or that I know doing massive things on Twitch. Like, I think this Saturday, Comic Relief are doing a big event on one of the streamers' channels that I watch. And they're going to be doing a big event with Rick Astley, of all people. and, like, you know, there's just so much, you know, scale, and there's so much, like, depth and just variety in the space that you can start anywhere and kind of just evolve into wherever it goes, and it's going to be fun. Like, have fun with it, because gaming is fun, and we're doing it. It's fun, but it's for a good cause. So they would be my things of get streamers involved, talk to them, you know, as the community grows, you know, make sure you're growing and evolving with it. And those collaborations and things I think are so, so important. And I'd love to see more of that kind of kickoff.
Magic. Will, bring us home.
I would say, to what Artie said about getting streamers involved, yeah, you need... Like, I can become players, which wouldn't exist, like, without Artie and a few other of our kind of original members. Like, everything, like, I have learned is from, like, being advised and guided by Artie and other streamers and gamers. So I would say, yeah, you need to just find. So if you're not confident in that space, like, there's people close to you, not too far, who are, and just ask for their help. Or ask for Artie's card after this. I think that would be the future of it, really. Like, you need people from that space to kind of just give you advice and guidance, and then you'll be able to do it. Because it's great, because so much is being led by streamers, and it's like every year, like, what's happening is changed. If you were an expert 5 years ago, unfortunately, you're just not an expert today. You do need to be kind of led by streamers and gamers now.
Absolutely. I just want to finish on saying something that you actually said when we met about this, which is it's an industry that's being carried by streamers. And there's so much opportunity for us as organisations and charities to work with a growing industry that's massive. And I think we've said that enough, actually, as well. It's huge. And there's a copious amount of opportunity for collaboration and a lot of money to be raised. But that's all we've got time for.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast and found this content helpful and would like to attend the 2023 Be More Digital Conference, you can purchase tickets through the charitydigital.org.uk website today.
We hope you enjoyed this Charity Digital podcast. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Charity Digital. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. Thanks for listening.